You're very welcome back. Just gone 20 minutes past 10 o'clock. Tandem with you until 12 tonight. And we've been joined in studio by entertainment journalist Rory Cashin. Good evening, Rory.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good to see you again. Very well indeed. And Oisin Davies of Great Irish Beverages, who has brought with him some wonderful stuff, Oisin.
I have indeed. I am looking forward to tonight's drink, lads. I can tell you that it's going to be a whopper one.
Is that a new gin, I see?
It is. It's brand spanking new. And I will, can I point out, there are only 1,500 bottles in existence.
My God. And we got one of them.
We have one of them.
That's wonderful. It's a Blackwater Wild Irish Hedgerow Gin. Unique, I would say, because it's not pale. It's kind of
it's actually
cherry colored.
Really, really tasty. Because basically,
limited edition.
I brought slow gin in here before, haven't I?
Oh, it's a slow gin.
Kind of. It is. It's a twist on a slow gin because number one, yes, it does have sloes in it. So it's a gin that's been infused with sloes, but also with damsons and crab apples and blackberries. Okay, so all wild ingredients from the Waterford locality where the gin is distilled. And then it's just slightly sweetened. Slow gin can be very, very sweet sometimes, you know?
So tried to make slow gin a few times, and I'm afraid what's been lacking every time is the patience. And there's just always a night when there's nothing in the house and you look at each other and go, the slow gin? And you go for it, and then it's gone.
Yeah, it's very Moorish slow gin, but absolutely. I will say that it can be very sweet. Because so, you know, a lot of time it can be so sweet, it's almost like a liqueur, you know?
Okay.
But this one is not, so that's what I like about it. And I also like the fact that it's not just slows, there's other ingredients
have
there too. And the base gin that they use is actually really nice anyway. I'm a big fan of Blackwater gin, as it is anyway. So for me, it's a win all round.
So it's a brand new gin, though, isn't it?
It's brand new. It's only out a couple of weeks.
That's a recurring theme, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seems there must be a new gin hitting the market every 2 or 3 weeks.
I would say there's a new Irish gin in the market every month.
And is that because we, climate-wise, are really suited to producing gins, or what's the story?
Well, what's happening is, yes, there's a lot of distilleries that are taking ingredients from their localities and distilling them into their spirits, such as Dingle. They do that with their gin. The guys in Glendalough do it as well. They do it up in Shorecross as well, which is made up north. They take wild botanicals or even farm botanicals from their area and put them into their liquid. But the reason why there's a lot of distilleries opening is because what's happening is they all want, you know, I suppose not all, but a lot of people want to get in on the Irish whiskey action. That is, a category that's on fire. And as a spirit, it's very enjoyable and hugely popular and on the up.
Yeah.
But if you want to produce an Irish whiskey, it's going to take you a year or so for you to get your recipe right. It's also going to take another three years, maybe four years, for you to rest your spirit in order for it to become Irish whiskey and to be legally called that. So in the interim period, what do? You come out with some white spirits to fill the financial gap. That's what's happening too. That's definitely, you know. But to be fair to Dingle, they just released their whiskey there a couple of weeks ago and I went to launch it. It's a beautiful whiskey.
Oh, we look forward to that.
Yeah.
He said,
I'll put the call
dropping
out.
A huge hint.
Yeah.
We look
Hello,
forward
Barry,
to that in the review slot.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, you being Oisin, the mixologist of great ability, you're not happy with this just being a simple everyday gin where we just pour it over ice and knock it back. You want to do magic to it.
Well, what happened was one of our listeners, a fella on Twitter called P.O. Murphy.
Yes.
He contacted us last week and he said, look, will you look at doing a slow gin cocktail? I said, I'd love to. So, P.O., if you're listening, and I hope you are, have a look at this recipe. I tweeted it to him earlier on. And yes, look, you can if you have a slow gin to hand, you can use your slow gin. If you can't get that, if you don't have any slow gin, by all means, pick this one up.
We have slow gin in the house once again.
Yeah.
We have once again tried to go down that road. This time I feel more optimistic.
Well, this is I gave this one a go earlier on and it works very well. So what I do is I got 50 ml of the Wild Hedgerow Gin, 10 ml of Highbank Orchard Apple Syrup, which is a beautiful apple syrup from Kilkenny that I'm always bringing in here. You're well familiar with it at this stage. Some lemon juice to give it some freshness and to cut through the sweetness. Some Jameson Slow Bitters or Angostura if you have it. A bit of egg white. You shake the bejesus out of it. Then you pour it into a glass of some ice, top it up with the pear cider.
Once you put egg white into something, it's bringing it down the road of the old fashioned, isn't it?
No, sour.
Sour.
There you go.
Yes, indeed.
So this is basically a fizz, you know. That's the term for this particular type of cocktail. I'm not using soda water, though. I'm going more hardcore. I'm using pear cider to give it that
this
fizzy
gets better
bit.
And better. Don't try this at home because you won't have any of the ingredients.
You could actually do this at home quite easily, to be fair. If you have a bit of... you have some sloe gin, give it a lash. If you don't have the apple syrup, use some sugar syrup. You can get lemon juice, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Top it up with the pear cider. Boom.
Right.
Yes.
It's like someone describing brain surgery, isn't it? Just whip off the top
anyone
of the skull,
do it.
Take out the affected
Fish bang,
part.
Wallop.
Go back on. Grand.
Bob's your uncle.
Bob, he's not answering his name anymore, but he's still your uncle.
In body
but just, you get cracking over there. I don't know whether this is really cookery or mixology. I see a packet of eggs over there. Best of luck with it.
Yeah, no, it's a keeper, defo.
Yes. Oshina's doing this on camera if you want to watch newstalk.com. It's always good to watch Oshina. Very, very gifted. Is this a good week or a bad week for films, Rory?
It's not a great week, purely because the better ones that we will be talking about actually came out last week.
Okay.
But because we were playing catch-up last week with the biggie ones, I'm now bringing forward to smaller releases that actually will potentially fly under the radar of most cinema goers.
Yeah.
And the one biggie this week is not good.
Oh, right. The one biggie this week is that Christmas movie then, is it?
Office Christmas Party, yeah.
Office Christmas Party is the big film this week.
Is the big one, yeah.
All right, and you're leaving it to last. That's how much you loved it.
Well, it's yep, we're going to leave it there. And do you know why?
Why?
Because next week there's this small nothing film called Star Wars Rogue One. Every other filmmaker is like, you can have most of December to yourself. Star Wars, that's fine.
Okay, fair enough. I look forward to that. So the one you're going to start with tonight is Chirac. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are, Chirac. It's portmanteau between Chicago and Iraq, because in the beginning, opening credits, we're told that more men have been killed by gangland like shootouts in Chicago in the same number of years than American soldiers have been killed in Iraq.
Is that a real statistic?
Apparently, yeah. Yeah, so people in certain neighborhoods of Chicago are now referring it to as Chirac. So it's based on, I'm going to make a hames of this, Aristophanes' ancient Greek play called Lysistrata.
Lysistrata.
That old chestnut.
One of the greats.
It's up there, but the story is essentially the same, in that it tells the story of the female companions of two warring tribes. In this case, it's two gangland crews who are headed by Nick Cannon and Wesley Snipes, of all people. And their two wives have decided to put up a bit of a sex embargo until they all put their weapons down and stop with the gangland killing. Initially, it's kind of greeted with a bit of a, yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. And then a month later, all of the men of Chicago and several other violence-torn cities around the world find themselves at a bit of a loss.
So it is a way to bring world peace. It's as simple as that.
I'm sorry, listeners. I'm going to have to use the tagline of the film. The actual tagline is "No peace, no pussy."
Yeah, that's the actual tagline.
That's the tagline of the film.
Wow, it's not aimed at the family audience, though.
Not at all. No.
We've been desensitized by that term ever since a certain president-elect.
Don't even mention him.
He's nuts.
Right, so let's hope that this is not quite as, you know foul.
Graphique.
Yes. This clip from the movie, authorities trying to get their hands around what happened at the armory.
So what is this, Chief?
In approximately 1,500 hours, 75 women took possession of the armory. They had hostages. They released them.
Women did this?
Black and brown women.
Black and brown women?
Just black and brown women.
How many dead?
Zero.
Just wounded?
Nada.
They pack us some big muscle, huh?
No, sir. They appear to be unarmed.
How many?
Approximately 75, sir.
Are you telling me that 75 black and brown women took the United States military armory unarmed?
Yes, sir.
That sounds like Richard Pryor.
It does a little bit, actually. Yeah. I can't remember the actor now. He's not that big a name, but like this, the cast on this is crazy. I've already said Nick Cannon and Wesley Snipes. It's also got Jennifer Hudson, John Cusack, Samuel L. Jackson, Dave Chappelle, and Angela Bassett.
My God!
And I forgot to mention one thing. It's a musical.
Drops pen. You're joking me.
It's a hip hop musical directed by Spike Lee.
Do they ever really work?
No, never.
This one works. This one works really, really well. Because it's so different to anything I'd seen before in the genre, because it's not...
Do they sing to each other in a kind of, you know, there's rap- I see you're on the red microphone, move a little bit to the left. Is there a bit of that going on?
Not so much that, no. There's more...
George used to hate that, remember?
Yeah.
Wow. Because big it's time. More... It's not like... It's not Les Mis. Yeah. It's more... Chicago, in that it's telling a story, not just describing stuff that's happening on the screen. And because it's hip hop, it comes across more in like hip, what do you call it, rap battles. And there's some fantastic, like, if I'm sure you'll get the soundtrack eventually if you ask around, but
yeah,
the soundtrack to this is crazy good, like, really, really. It reminded me a bit of the Get Down soundtrack.
Well, that is,
well, that's a Whopper soundtrack.
Really, really high praise.
Yeah.
The thing about the Get Down soundtrack, which I found so incredibly clever, is they pick songs that are almost not cool, but when you put them in the context of a really cool thing, it changes that recognition. The Rubber Band Man was the one that really blew me away in that song, in that TV show.
Yeah.
Sensational. Is it a bit of that?
Well, it's more that, like, there's R. Kelly does some songs in it, Nick Cannon does some songs in it, there's loads of artists I'd never heard of before, and I've had the soundtrack on repeat since I've seen the film, because some of the songs are just exceptionally good.
Yeah.
And the lead actress in this, she's not famous, I think it's probably her first performance in, like, a major film, is outstandingly good. Really, really good. I will say off the bat, obviously, as a musical disliker, Bush, I wouldn't say this is necessarily for you, but I'm not a massive musical fan either, but I just thought it was brilliant, because it was so completely different and off the wall, and it's probably Spike Lee's best film in about 20 years.
Which is saying something.
Do the Right Thing is one of my favourite movies.
Yeah, it's been a long time, like, since Do the Right Thing was 1989.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep.
But this is him back with all of his old, like, cohorts. Like, he's like Wesley Snipes and Sam Jackson and Angela Bassett. Like, he's working with all his old school people again.
Do you want some fascinating little aside? I'm the master of trivia, right? You said your favourite film by Spike Lee is Do the Right Thing, 1989. The opening line is, wake up. What is the opening line of Chirac? Wake up.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice little callback there.
Indeed.
Very good.
Very good. Well, I have good news for listeners as well, because we have a pair of tickets to give away to Chirac in the IFI Temple Bar this coming Monday evening. And to be at a chance of winning, simply ask the following question. If you complete the title of this Spike Lee movie from 1992, Malcolm what? Malcolm, fill in the blank.
In the middle.
And then, in an extremely Father Ted moment, there is a clue. It's just one letter.
Good grief.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very...
They've got a 1 in 26 chance of getting this right now.
Yeah. You know the quiz in Father Ted, where the BBC actor is in to MC a quiz, and he asks a woman, it's the capital of England. And she looks blankly and he says, I give you a clue. You live there. Right, so complete the title of the Spike Lee movie from 1992, Malcolm what? And the clue is just one letter. If you know the answer, text your full name, your answer to 53106. That will cost you 30 cents. We're going to take a look at The Edge at 17 now in a moment.
Yes, we are. Yeah, it's right. Another quite good film.
Before we do that though, this week's top five are Allied is number 5. Are we happy or sad with that?
Meh. It's grand. It's grand. It's that was Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard.
Despite everything you said about Bad Santa 2, it is at 4 this week.
It won't stay there very long, because it's terrible.
Universally.
Hate it. Yeah.
Scully is number 3.
Sully. Yes.
Sully, yes.
You are not the first person to call it Scully.
Yeah, Scully was a guy I knew. There's mixed reviews on Sully, isn't there?
It's like mixed to good. There's no one I can't imagine too many people blown away by it. But it is, like, it's just, it's decent, and it's all about the plane crash scene. That's what you're going to go see it for.
All right. Moana is number 2. I didn't get to it over the weekend.
Did you?
No, I did not.
Terrible parenting on both your behalfs there.
We have a birthday coming up, and the eldest is not, she's too old for that one, and we've opted to go on the Viking Splash Tour.
Very good.
As opposed to Rogue One. My suggestion was Rogue One, unfortunately.
You've booked on to the Viking tour, have you?
We're going on the Viking tour.
Okay, you're
for my eldest birthday.
I know a person who brought 12 young children on that for a birthday party, thinking you could just walk up to it.
No, we have booked online. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They made other plans for the day.
Okay.
Good one. So yeah, Moana is number two, and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is number one. I'm dying to see that.
Yeah, I think it just crossed half a billion already around the world. Really, yeah. So yeah, everyone was kind of concerned that it might not make Harry Potter money.
Yeah,
it's doing fine.
The only slightly disappointing thing about it is that the book is a screenplay.
The book in like yeah. the combined stories, yeah, because so, the original book was just like a picture book.
Okay.
And then they've adapted the screenplay into a book for them. Yeah.
She's screenwriting now, so I think she's kind of stopped writing novels earlier. Mm.
Well, she tried that. Was it A Curious
Gardener
or whatever it was called? The one that nobody read?
Yeah.
So she tried. Now.
Right, you need to make noise, don't you?
I do.
So I'll tell you what I could do for you. We could play a little bit of the new Elbow track, Magnificent, which we have in the background there.
Cool.
Because it is wonderful. So we'll play that. He'll make a racket. And we'll be back with The Edge of 17. That, I think, is the best thing I've heard from Elbow in years. Magnificent is the name of that. The album goes on release in February. And we're all in enjoyment. In the student.
Universal.
Universal.
Absolutely.
Acclaim for that. The fact that it arrived as the Wild Blackwater Fizz was being served was just coincidental, wasn't it?
Pure coincidence.
We were watching you making that, O'Shea. That was there's a lot of artistry going on there.
I
think
love,
you take for granted what you do.
Yeah, no, I love good fizzes, you know. But when you have a bit of egg white in a drink, it means you get that big frothy head that we have all there. See that lovely white frothy head we have in our drinks? Anyone who's looking at in camera there.
Makes it magnificent.
But in order to get that, you need to put in the work. You need to shake the bejesus out, as I tell everyone, you know.
Keep yourself fit.
There are certain part of my arm anyway, you know, and I'm sure it's got exercise some other things too, you know.
Let's not dwell on that. You really notice the cider in it.
That's
a strong note in it. And the gin is beautiful. Wild Hedgerow gin, fair play to you.
It gives the drink a lovely colour. It's a gorgeous kind of pink hue.
That is up there on newstalk.com if you want to give it a go yourself. But I will caution you, it's tough. you'd want to be well practised and really think making drinks is the thing that you love doing.
If you give it a go, it'd still be worth it, because to be fair, this is a gorgeous gin. Yeah. Can't go wrong.
Even if you make a mess with you, you can just drink the mess.
You can just drink it anyway.
Just drink it.
Drink the mess.
Tom, I thought Rory and Nushin would have their respective books on the newsstands for Christmas tied in at your show. They'd both be good sales. Maybe from your perspective, Tom, yours could be the third book. Maybe Food for Thought, Tom and Gilder. Yeah, you really have to do the content.
I'll get there eventually.
And Darren's text and say, I heard a piece of music in the film Thomas Crown Affair in 1998. It's popped into my head every now and again over the years. Google it today, and it's Sinnerman by the great Nina Simone. What a great song. I don't suppose you'd play it. We were about to, Darren, but we found that it's over 10 and a half minutes long, so we won't be able to do that for you tonight. But at some point in the future, Darren. Two more films to look at and a beautiful prize to give away. So we'll have a quick break and we'll be back with The Edge of 17. You're very welcome back. Just two films still to take a quick look at. But before we go to that, I forgot to ask you for your marks out of five for Chirac.
4.5.
You really liked it then?
Really, really good.
Loved it, in fact.
Really, really good.
Ooh, interesting.
Like bordering top 10 of the year in there.
Very good. And is that in general release as well?
No, probably not. I'd say it's more specialist cinema, so you will have to seek it out.
So The Edge of 17... Tell me all about it.
Yes. Do you remember Hailee Steinfeld? She was the young cowgirl in the remake of True Grit Jeff Bridges. She's, you know, slowly but surely making herself a very solid career in America. And in this, she plays a teenager who is on the edge of 17.
Right.
And she's in high school and she's kind of like not terribly popular, but she's got a best friend who has suddenly become one of the very popular girls in school. When it's discovered that she is dating Hailee Steinfeld's older brother, which is kind of a no-no amongst female BFFs. So Hailee Steinfeld finds that her life has gone into complete freefall because she's now alienated from her brother. She doesn't want to speak to her best friend. The whole school has decided to pick her best friend over her. And the only shoulder she has to cry on is from her teacher, who also doesn't particularly like her. That's played by Woody Harrelson, who, in my opinion, probably might get nominated for Best Supporting Actor for this film, because he's brilliant in it. Absolutely brilliant.
When you put this together and you describe it like that, it strikes me as the kind of film that would be surprised if it appealed to me.
Yes, I can understand that because I've seen the trailer and I've seen the plot synopsis of it and I was like, oh, I feel like I've seen this film at least 20 times already. Yeah, it's exactly. Just another teenage rom-com thing. Yeah. But it's the fact that the performances are really, really good. The script is so completely on point that it doesn't over-dramatize anything. Everything is properly grounded. Everything feels real enough. And it's directed with such a kind of subtle hand that, yeah, we've seen films like this before, but none that have been kind of shown to us as well as this. This is like the best example of a film you would have seen already.
The other thing then that goes through my mind is that what would draw me in to care about any of these people? Even though I will have one of those people in 7 years' time, and I should be identifying more the potential problems coming down the railway tracks at me.
Absolutely, you should. I guess it's just because there's no particularly unique problems on show here for her character, but it's shown that, you know, one of her parents are split up. Her mother has real emotional problems after the breakup. She's played by Kyra Sedgwick, I think her name is, and she's a fantastic actress as well. And it kind of handles the realism of a broken family really, really well, while also being kind of funny. So I suppose in that way, it's, yeah, you've got problems, no problems that no one else in the world isn't already facing. But when you're a teenager, they can feel like those insurmountable, oh, my life is over right. kind of issues.
Normally, when something like that is appealing to me, when I think about it, it's often the writing that's really getting to me, the writing that's really drawing me in.
Yeah.
For instance, I don't know if you watched The Crown on Netflix at the moment, which is about
the Queen. Emma's watching that, yeah.
But you might think this won't be my cup of tea. But the writing in that is sensational. And time and time again, you just go, oh, so well put.
Yeah.
Is there a bit of that?
Yeah, because in films like this, it can feel like this character's meant to be 16, and it can feel like this 16-year-old girl has had her lines written by a 45-year-old man who has no idea what a 16-year-old girl sounds like. Whereas this feels like it was written by someone who is currently experiencing it. And when you balance her against, like, she's so over the top emotional because, you know, she feels like her life is ending, and every scene she has at Woody Harrelson, who is the most laid back, dryly sarcastic, just complete nasty man to her. Like, he's not mean in a purposeful way. He's just like, this is kind of the way the world is, and you just kind of have to take it on the chin and just deal. I'm not going to give you any sympathy.
People can be mean just through their utter lack of enthusiasm.
Would it be lack of enthusiasm? I think he just treating her like a grown up. And she's just so not used to being treated that way because she's 16. And that's what makes it really, really funny. She's like, oh, everyone in my class hates me and I don't understand why. And he's like, maybe you're just not a nice person.
Oh, man.
But when it's Woody Harrelson saying it, it's really funny. His delivery of it is just completely brilliant.
Is it comedic? Is it?
It's what the world they use and I hate it. Dramedy.
Dramedy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I never heard of that one. I never even heard that word before.
Hashtag dramedy.
Hashtag dramedy.
I'll take a clip from it anyway. It's The Edge of 17 is the name of the film. And in this clip, Nadine is at a fun park on a date with her fellow student, Erwin, who has just attempted to kiss her on the Ferris wheel. Well, where is your Ferris?
This has been a really fun night. I'm sorry if I flipped out on you on the Ferris wheel earlier.
No, my timing was just bizarre.
I'm going through it right now. It's a long story.
I'm sorry you're going through stuff.
You're a really great guy, Erwin.
Aw.
No, I'm serious. I look at you and I just see this really, really, really old man.
Old?
I'm complimenting you. I see this very kind, very gentle, very wise old man in a convalescent home, in a wheelchair.
That sounds really good, despite the name. You liked this as well, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It was held together by the amazing performances and, as you said, the great script. Yeah. And it's the best version of a teenage dramedy that I've seen in quite a while. I'd give it 4 out of 5.
That's a 4.5 and a 4 this week.
Yeah.
In what's supposed to be a quiet. It will 9 out of 10.
It will balance out. Don't
worry. Okay. Oh, good. I know where we're going. The Edge 17. Now, put your headphones on, please, because Breida from Rathfarnham is on the phone. Breida, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. I just wanted to ask you, we've asked everyone in our competition, what has been your highlight of 2016 so far?
Well, one of my highlights has been cycling Eclair. some wild Atlantic women.
Say that to me again. Now you were sightseeing where?
Clare, County Clare.
Oh yeah.
We sighted along the coast for a week, all the way from Craigieshore down to Lougheed.
And what?
To the Aran Islands as well.
Yeah. What was so great about it?
Well, one of the highlights would be meeting Mary O'Hara, and also meeting the Druid Theatre Group out on the Aran Islands. They were doing Waiting for Godot on the beach, so that was pretty exciting. And just sightseeing, literally sightseeing the whole coast.
Sounds brilliant.
Great.
Mary O'Hara, the actress.
Mary O'Hara, the harpist, darling.
The what?
Harpist.
Spin the wheel, Mary O'Hara.
Yes.
Yes, that Mary O'Hara.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. Nello the Moonlight.
Yeah, what age would Mary O'Hara be now, dare I ask?
She would be 83 or 84.
Wow, and she's still plucking away the old harp?
Harping on.
I think she's been harping on, yes.
Brilliant. Good, that sounds great. We've decided not to ask people about the worst things of 2016 because there's too many of them.
We'd be here all night.
We would. But did, as I read through the prizes there, did anything catch your fancy, Breida?
No, I was listening to you about John Lennon. That's why I was listening.
Right. Well, we've Beach Boys, Pet Sounds 50th Anniversary Edition. There's 5 discs there, a hardbound book. I have a collection of CDs, which has Bob Dylan, the Royal Albert Hall. There's the new Leonard Cohen album, which is brilliant. Lazarus.
Leonard Cohen, certainly.
That sound good?
Leonard Cohen would be great.
Yeah, no, I'll do. There's a whole selection of these CDs, Breida. It's not just one. There's lots of them.
Oh, wow.
Yes, there's even the new Neil Young album that only arrived in today, which I'll add into the little pile as well.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you. It's Christmas, Breida. We're trying to celebrate. We want you to be happy.
I am.
Good. Great. Right, I'll put your name on the CDs, Breida.
Okay.
And are you all set for Christmas now?
Yes.
Yeah, honestly?
Yes. Sent all the Christmas cards today, wrapped all the presents yesterday, put up the tree, have it all done.
Wow. I feel slightly...
And back to the light. Oh, God. And the lights are on the tree.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you still have one thing to do.
Make me feel very inadequate.
Yeah, inadequate, completely. Breida, thanks very much. I hope you enjoy them. And there's lots of CDs. Maybe something in there you love. I know you love Leonard Cohen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Lovely talking to you tonight, Breida. Thanks for seeing my little 12 days of Christmas plan is working out beautifully.
It's really well.
All the stuff I could have just taken home, but no, I'm bringing happiness. All left, right,
spring
and centre.
Cheer.
Yes.
Saint Dunn over here.
Sheila Peterson and Wicklow saying, I made sloe gin 3 years ago, and it was the most delicious, silky smooth liquor by the following year. Never tasted anything like it.
She let it infuse for a whole year.
Yeah.
That is the best way to do it, I might add.
You need to stick little pinpricks in the sloes, don't you?
What I do is this. Take the sloes and put them in a Ziploc bag and stick them in the freezer. Leave them there for 24 hours. That'll kill any bacteria and will also mean that as soon as you take those sloes and put them into a jar with some gin, you won't need to pierce them because skin will open up naturally because the berries have been frozen.
Right. That would save people work all over.
There you
Ireland,
go. I just saved I wish hours known that. Of time for all the slow gin fans.
Because theoretically you're supposed to get every single slow
you don't
and
need
stab
to.
It with a little pin.
So you don't need to. You just lash them in the freezer and boom, you're done.
Yeah. There's one more movie to talk about before we go tonight and get Ken in to talk about John Lennon later on. And it's the big one. It's the one that people will have most expectations of and be more likely to go and see over the weekend. Office Christmas Party.
Yeah. It tells the story of... an office Christmas party.
It says on the
Ron Seal movie.
TJ Miller, who is in Silicon Valley, which is kind of a big sitcom in America right now. He has been in charge of this particular branch of a big corporation, but it's about to be shut down by his big sister, who's the CEO of the whole corporation. She's played by Jennifer Aniston. Unless they can land one last account, which will save everyone lots of money. So in order to lure in this account, they throw a... office Christmas party.
That's fair enough. You know, I mean, all of these Christmas movies need a basic little simple plot. I watched National Lampoon's Vacation once again.
Vacation or Christmas Vacation?
Christmas Vacation.
Right.
And
the best one.
The basic thing there is that he's waiting for his Christmas bonus, and come Christmas Eve, it hasn't arrived.
And all his family have come, even though he didn't invite
some
of them.
The Griswolds personify everything that's great about Christmas.
So plots aren't really important. It's more the magical ensemble that they put together.
It's the jokes, and it's the, yes, the ensemble's a big part of it, and whether the people in it are funny or not.
Yes.
So
right, and on that note,
like they've got some.
I see a problem.
They've got some. Like Jennifer Aniston is not a comedian. She can be funny. Obviously, she's done Friends, but she's not a stand-up comedian. Yeah. And oddly enough, she's the funniest thing in this film. And yet, she's surrounded by the likes of Jason Bateman, Rob Corddry, who is very, very funny, Randall Park, Kate McKinnon, who recently stole. The recent Ghostbusters, and everyone loved her playing Hillary Clinton on SNL. Like you'll recognize so many comedians and be like, why are you not funnier than this? Where there's so much potential to have a funny film based on an office Christmas party. Like the idea is there alone. We've all been to them where you go, oh, that was
funny.
This
is one of these films, I can tell the way this review is going, that I hang my head in disbelief. You have this incredible cast. You have this time of year that people like us are just dying to head in and see a really well put together Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. And you have probably some of the best script writers in Hollywood. And still, you can't get it right.
Yeah. It's just lazy. It really smacked of, right, you two people are funny. You're in this scene together now. Ad lib, and we'll take the best line from what you've come up with.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only one person able to ad lib like that, and it's Larry David.
There's not a lot of them, to be fair, but none of them are in this film.
No. That's very sad. We'll give people a clip. This is a clip from, it's called Office Christmas Party, and DJ Calvis is saying inappropriate statements across the PA, much to Mary's distress.
Ooh, looks like some babies getting made tonight.
I'm not looking to get pregnant tonight.
Excuse me. Sorry. Jill, that's a red card for you.
Babies are not getting made tonight, not here on company property. If you're going to have intercourse, please go beyond the flood lamps at the perimeter of the plaza and into the Rite Aid parking lot. This is still an office, and even though it's dark outside, the rules don't turn off.
The rules may not turn off, but your inhibitions can. I'm talking about take your peepees out and put them in some booties. Flip, flip, flip.
Okay, we've heard enough. Out of five, Rory.
Two
he gives it. IFI winners tonight are Darren McKenna, Annie Brown and Paul Sheridan. And the answer was, of course, Malcolm X. X was the letter we were looking for. We're going to be talking about all about John Lennon in a moment. But Rory and Oisín, both, thank you very much.
Thank you.